Stranded 2, Trial by Fire, Chapter 9. When Buzz woke up the next morning, he was relieved to smell the fire. It was still going. He'd taken the first watch of the night. Then Carter had spelled him and Vanessa had taken the last shift. When Buzz crawled out of the lean-to, he could see her sitting on a log by the fire with her arms pulled inside her shirt against the chilly morning air. "Where's Carter?" he asked. "He's cutting more bamboo," Vanessa told him. "We need a floor for that shelter." "I hear that," Buzz said. They'd laid a few fronds on the sand that night before, but several new pests had quickly found them. Small crabs had skittered over their bodies in the dark, and some kind of tiny insect had crawled in Buzz's ears and up his sleeves and shorts through the night. Now he was itching in all kinds of new places. He'd also seen at least a few rats sneaking around. The idea of getting off the ground while they slept seemed like a great idea. So did catching those crabs, or even a rat. He was that hungry. "So I guess Carter's feeling better," Buzz asked. As if on cue, Carter's voice broke the morning air. "I'm starving," he said, walking into camp. He had two more pieces of bamboo trailing behind him. His hair was dripping, and his shirt was off. It looked as if he'd taken a morning swim. "I've got an idea about how to get some of those coconuts down from the trees," he said. "I'm going to need Jane, one of the ropes, the big knife, and the rain slicker." "The rain slicker?" Buzz asked. The idea of Carter wearing Vanessa's bright green jacket was kind of funny, but it also didn't make sense. The sky that morning was just as cloudless as it had been the day before. "Come on, Jane," Carter said, poking his head into the shelter. "Let's go do this." Meanwhile, Buzz had a few ideas of his own. "I was thinking we could try to spear some crab or fish," he said. "And I know this is gross, but I saw a ton of snails on the rocks yesterday." "Ew!" Jane stuck her head out of the shelter, looking horrified. "Are you serious?" "You don't have to eat them," Buzz said, "but technically they're meat." "Yes, snail meat," she said. "New rule," Vanessa said, "no whining." "New rule," Carter said, "no more rules." "I'm not whining," Jane protested. "It's just gross. That's a fact." "What about the fish?" Vanessa asked Buzz. Buzz shrugged. "We can try." He picked up the big knife and the long stick he'd been working on, then started shaving down the tip. It was like sharpening a giant pencil. "Buzz, I need that knife," Carter said. He already had the rope and the slicker over his arm. "Just a second," Buzz said. "Do you want me to get the coconut or not?" Carter demanded. He glared down at Buzz with his hand out. Buzz just stared back, and for several seconds, neither of them budged. Then Buzz blinked and looked away. "Fine," he said, and dropped the knife for Carter to pick up. "I'm done with it anyway." It was always embarrassing and infuriating. Buzz always looked away first. It was as if Carter was made of stone. One of these days, his new brother was going to push him too far. And then... well, Buzz thought, he had no idea what then. The fact was, he couldn't compete with Carter. He wasn't as strong or as confident. He'd never even been in a real fight before. But then again, Buzz thought, everyone had their breaking point, didn't they? After a quick scout up and down the beach, Carter stood with Jane at the base of the shortest palm tree he could find. The bundle of green coconuts he'd been eyeing was at least 25 feet over their heads. "What are we doing?" Jane asked. "I'm going to get you up there," he told her. "Stand up with your arms out." Jane had been sitting in the sand, writing in her journal. Now she got up and stood, making a T with her arms. Carter slipped an end of rope through one sleeve of Vanessa's slicker and back out the other. Then he held the coat up for Jane to put on. It was the bosun chair on the Lucky Star that had given him the idea. When they were sailing with Uncle Dexter, Carter had ridden straight up the mast wearing the special harness. It raised him 50 feet off the deck just to change a light bulb. It had also been the coolest ride of his life. Now he looked at Jane and the rain slicker with the rope hanging out of her sleeves, and he tried to remember how the harness had held his arms and legs. Once he zipped her in, he wound the rope in a figure eight several times around her shoulders, then her middle, and finally her legs. When it was done, he tied it off with a nautical knot that Uncle Dexter had taught him. Dex called it a Benson Special, after Carter. The knot probably had some old seaman's name, too. "You okay?" he asked. "Sure, what next?" Jane said. Carter picked up the opposite end of the rope and tied it to the craggy black rock he'd picked off the beach. It was big enough to have some weight, but small enough to throw. Now he eyeballed the tree. Leaning back on one foot, he threw the rock straight up into the crown of the greenery at the top, while the excess rope trailed behind. The rock whiffed a low-hanging frond and fell back down into the sand. "A swing and a miss," Carter said. "Try again," Jane told him. This time, the rock got stuck in the foliage. Carter had to yank it free. "Don't give up," Jane encouraged. Then he threw again. And again. And again. It was like some kind of endless carnival game. Jane kept track, of course. On the 18th throw, he finally hooked the rope up and over one of the tree's big fronds. "Yes," Jane said, applauding. He shimmied the rope back and forth, nestling it into the crook between the limb and the tree trunk itself. Then he pulled hard on both ends of the line to make sure it was strong enough. It was like a big pulley, with Jane at one end of the line. "All right, Jane, you're up," he said, and handed her the big knife. Jane had already wrapped it in a thick leaf from the woods. She tucked the sheathed blade into the rope around her middle and gave Carter a thumbs up. "Ready?" she said. Carter got a good grip on the line and started hauling Jane into the air. She scrambled a little as she rose, but quickly found her balance, pressing her bare feet against the trunk. It was like watching her walk up the side of the tree. "I've got you," he said, pulling her higher, hand over hand on the rope. That part wasn't hard. Jane weighed about half an ounce compared to him. When she reached the top, she grabbed hold of the nearest limb and scrambled up inside, like some kind of baby bird crawling into its nest. "Jane!" Carter yelled. There was no more tension on the rope, and he couldn't see her at all. She'd just disappeared. "Jane!" "I've got it," she called back. She popped out then, leaning down through the greenery, knife in hand. From there, she started sawing away at the stem, holding the coconuts to the tree. "Mom would kill me if she could see this," Carter said. "Probably," Jane said, "but it's okay, Carter. I'm fine." She sawed a little harder, and the bundle of coconuts broke halfway free. But so did the limb that was holding most of Jane's weight. "Jane!" For a split second, she fell. On instinct, Carter dropped to the sand, sitting down hard to take up the slack in the rope. Jane jerked to a stop, bounced once, and stayed where she was. The frond above her was at a crazy angle, but it still seemed to hold her weight. "I'm going to bring you down. Just hang on," he said. "Don't," she said. "I've almost got it." It was typical. Jane was afraid of eating snails, but not hanging upside down 25 feet in the air on a homemade harness. She even let out a giggle. "Stop laughing. You gave me a heart attack," he yelled. "I know. That's why I'm laughing," Jane said. "Just hang on." She reached up, folding herself in half to get at the coconuts one more time. Carter braced himself, ready to catch her if he had to. But with a few quick strokes of the knife, the coconuts pulled free. "Breakfast, lunch, and dinner coming down," Jane yelled just as they thudded into the sand. Their mother would have definitely killed Carter if she could see this, Carter thought. No question. But she might have also thought Jane was just as amazing as he did right now. Vanessa used a spoon to pry another snail off a rock and dropped it into the pot. Buzz had been right. There were hundreds of them along the shore, if not thousands, each one the size of her fingertip. Inside every half-open shell, she could see a slimy little black and white piece of snail, also known as protein. So far, neither of them had tried eating one of the snails raw. Vanessa knew people ate them somewhere in the world, maybe in France, but she was pretty sure those were cooked. For now, she could hold on until they got back to camp where they could boil or fry them. Vanessa worked around the rocks. Buzz stood up to his knees in the ocean with his handmade fishing spear. He'd made several throws with it, but hadn't come up with anything so far. Before that, he'd tried tracing down the crabs on the beach. That hadn't gone too well either. It looked as if lunch was going to be snails and whatever coconuts Carter and Jane were able to get. As she worked, Vanessa also kept her eyes moving all the time. She looked back toward camp to make sure the fire was still burning, and she watched the horizon for any signs of rescue. And she also peered several times up the rocky shore that extended away from their beach. "What do you think is over that way?" she asked. "I don't know," Buzz said, sounding distracted. He stood perfectly still in the water, waiting for another fish to go by. "More cliffs, I guess." It was one of the few parts of the island they hadn't explored yet. So far, it hadn't seemed worth trying. The black volcanic rocks were rough to the touch, and even sharp in some places. You could lose a lot of skin if you went down hard. All at once, Buzz hurled the spear. It made a small splash and floated away in the direction he'd thrown it. He cursed under his breath as he ran to pick it up again. "You want to pick snails?" Vanessa asked. "Maybe. Carter could try that spear later." "I can do it," he snapped. When she looked down, his face was red, and not just from the sun. "We don't need Carter for everything, okay?"
"I didn't say that, Buzz. I just said..."
"Yeah, I heard you the first time," he said. Vanessa took a deep breath. "Fine, keep trying," she told him, and she turned away. She dropped another few snails into the pot, checked the fire, looked at the horizon, and then she looked up along the rocky part of the shore again. A few days earlier, Jane and Carter had gone more than halfway around the island in the opposite direction searching for water. The high tide had trapped them on that side overnight. Ever since, they'd all been reluctant to wander too far. Still, Vanessa thought, she would have given anything for an hour of privacy right about now. Never mind having a bedroom with a door and a lock, or a hot shower, or a simple conversation with someone her own age. Just to have some space where she didn't have to worry about what everyone else was doing, or what they were going to eat, or, for that matter, where she wasn't getting yelled at for trying to help. Right now, that sounded a whole lot like heaven.